So today we're going to go into the next sermon on this series, a double portion anointing. I've been waiting to get to this message. Everybody, when you think of anointing, they think of Elisha. Last week we talked about the Abishai anointing. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Abishai anointing, David's mighty man, and some of the things that he went through and things that he learned from walking alongside David. Today, we're going to be in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15. We're going to look at Elijah the prophet. And when we last left off Elijah, he was in the cave, you know. He wasn't in the cave of Adullam like David. But how many know it seems like sometimes we get closer to God in the caves. How many know it's sometimes we get closer to Jesus in the cave than we do on the mountaintop. And so in the cave of Adullam, where Abishai committed himself to David. And here in this cave, Elijah was ready to, you know, end his life. He'd run. He was exhausted from ministry. He had just had this major accomplishment on Mount Carmel. And prophets of Baal were defeated. 850 prophets of Baal. And then he ran, and laid under the juniper tree and was ready to end it all. But the angel of the Lord baked him a cake, probably some sweet bread from Branson at Silver Dollar City. She would have woke me up. But he got him out of that cave. He went into a cave, and the Lord went into the cave and said, "Hey, Elijah, what are you doing in here, Elijah?" That's not our text today. I'm just giving you a setting for the for where we're going today. What are you doing in here, Elijah? You don't belong in here. How many know the men and women of God who are leading the church and the kingdom do not belong in caves full time? Now, every now and then, we're human, we find ourselves in a difficult spot. How many has ever had a day or two in the cave? Just two of the honest people of God. Everybody's had a day in the cave or two. Yes, yeah, you call them snow days. But it's when you wrap up and pity yourself to death. You know those days. And so he was there. God said, "You don't belong in here because you have a job to do. You need to get out of here. Go stand by the door, the opening of the cave, of the mountain there. And I'm going to pass by. And I want you to see my presence and see how powerful I am. And I want you to be reminded of the duty and the calling and the anointing on your life, Elijah. You've been anointed, Sam. Now I want you, in your last day of your life, here coming up soon, I want you to go anoint Hazael and Jehu and Elisha. Find them and anoint them. That's what I need you to do." How many know God give you an assignment even in a cave? And so that's where we pick up. We know Elijah was an awesome prophet, called fire down, defeated the prophets, all of that. And as God has his prophets, Satan also has his. Jezebel is sacrificing our kids to Baal. I mean, today, can I just say, Baal is still trying to kill this generation. And not only in the womb before they're born, but in indoctrination and in many other ways to pervert their minds and keep them from changing this generation. I mean, God has his hand on this next generation. And the prophets of God are going to work it through. But there's also enemies has servants as well. I just wanted somebody to know that. And I want to prophesy over this next generation. As Moses was about to leave the planet, God raised up a Joshua anointing and a Caleb anointing to lead the nation of Israel. And how many know that as Elijah, the prophet, is about to leave this planet, God's going to raise up an Elisha anointing. Not only just the same anointing, a double portion anointing. And so I can't wait to get into this. Are you ready? So in our text, as Elijah is facing his last day, God's going to raise up another prophet to grab his mantle and anointing and lead the nation. All right, so let's check it out. It came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Somebody shout Gilgal. Okay, then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." Somebody shout Bethel. Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And now the sons of the prophets who were there at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, yes, I know. Keep quiet. Then Elisha said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Okay, I'm switching this, so if you don't mind, I'll just switch it from here. Thank you, sweetheart. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that. And so the two of them crossed over on the dry ground. So it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, somebody shout, nevertheless. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What a way to go. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, this is big, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, say it with me, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want you to notice that before we go on. He didn't say, where is the Elijahs of God? He said, where is the God of Elijah? I mean, it's important who you seek after. It's one thing to be mentored by Elijah. It's another thing to follow God of Elijah, right? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. Elisha crossed over. And now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. Wow. It's powerful. Don't have a lot of time. We got a lot of places to go in just a little bit of time. Four different places. But I just wanted to give some of the background to you, because I believe today God is going to raise up some Elishas. Can somebody say amen? There's somebody in this world today that still desires a double portion of the Holy Spirit. And we need it. I mean, the day we're going into, if Elijah faced Jezebel, I mean, Elisha is going to face some things too. And so we need God's Spirit-filled people to lead. And so why Elisha? Because God knew and saw something about this young man that he desired. Elijah didn't have a committee meeting and decide he was going to select Elisha. How many know God announced it in the cave? Get up. It's not time for you to be down or depressed. There's 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. How many know we don't need to be having this Elijah complex where you're the only one left. How many know God has an army. He's got an army ready to serve. We just got to get up and anoint them and give them the mantle and train them and lead them and let them loose. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to unleash this next generation and see what God wants to do. Amen. And so Yahweh surrounded him and announced it. And he told him, go and find him and anoint him. And just as Moses was told to anoint Joshua, and Jesus called his 12 disciples. So here Elijah will be found and become the next prophet who leads Israel. So I wanted to look at this and these. It's a walk. It's a process. It's a journey toward a double portion anointing. Are you ready? Well, the first place he went, it starts at Gilgal. Spiritual meaning of Gilgal is separation. If you look back in history, you know that Joshua was over at Gilgal. As soon as you get to Gilgal, you'll notice something. 12 stones stacked one on top of the other for when that they came through the Jordan and they got on the other side. And Joshua said, let this be a memorial so that when your kids and your grandkids and next generation sees this, they'll say, what means these stones? What do these stones mean? And you tell them that the God of Israel provided for us to cross over on dry ground so that the next generation knows the power of Yahweh. And so that's what you see. That's what you saw in going to that first place, Gilgal. But along the journey, that's where it starts. But prior to that, God is looking for somebody who has the potential, has what it takes. And God saw something in Elisha. Where did Elijah find Elisha? Before they got there, he started at Gilgal. We'll deal with that. But he found him behind the 12 oxen. How many know it's a good place, if you're going to get a double portion anointing, a good place to start is with a work ethic. How many know we got to go to a hard work university? How many know that's a good place to go, Taylor? I thank God for College of the Ozarks. How many know it's time to raise up a generation who knows how to work? And he found him working. He didn't find him laying around or just reading or just lounging. He found him working behind the 12 plow. Underneath the Jordanian sun, it means he was accustomed to perseverance and caring for the farm. And so God found Moses caring for the sheep, found David caring for the sheep, found Elisha working behind the plow, plowing away. And if you ever plan to confront evil kings or an apathetic church in this day, how many know you have to have some work ethic? You have to have some strong skin. Tough skin. You got to have something to stand up and sometimes, I guess, be strong and courageous and confident in God. And so better have more than a degree or credential. You got to get some tough skin and go to hard work university. And so Elijah found him busy working and not sitting around. And he passed by him, according to 1 Kings 19:9-19, and he threw his cloak on him. So he was working hard. The second thing about him was he was willingly obedient. The Bible says that Elisha immediately left and ran toward to Elijah the prophet and said, "Hey, I'm going to go back and kiss mom and dad and just respect my family, and then I'll be over to get you." So he goes home and he kills the fatted calf. He kills the whole herd of oxen, however many he killed. He sacrificed them to the Lord, and he burned the plow. Somebody say, burn the plow. If you're going to have a double portion anointing in the kingdom ministry, you're going to have to learn how to let go of the past. You can't hold on to the past and move into the future at the same time. And so in the same verse, it says, Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and asked if he could say goodbye, and he did. It was instant surrender to God, and it shows his loyalty to follow God. And it was Jesus. Remember when he called his 12 and Peter, James, and John, the Bible says, immediately surrendered to the call. They left their nets. Matthew was at the tax collector table, and he said, "Caesar, you can have this. I'm following Jesus." How many know it's that immediate obedience that's going to be? That's one of the things I think that God saw in Elisha. And then thirdly was a costly sacrifice. He burned the plow. He said, "You know what? It's a new day. God has anointed me to do kingdom ministry. I'm leaving all my securities to follow God wholeheartedly." Elisha asked, he was now free for full-time prophetic ministry. And it says he got up, went after Elijah, and ministered to him. I want to stop right there before we take the journey. I just want to tell you, if you haven't learned fellowship, you'll never be able to be in leadership. If you haven't learned how to follow somebody and learn how to lead, with them and learn from them, everybody wants to be anointed until they see the price. And the price for this costly anointing is surrender and obedience and service heart, right? Servant's heart. And so before you ever become the leader, you might need to learn to be a follower. Fellowship comes before leadership. You can write that down. I'll say it really slow. Fellowship comes before leadership. All right, so let's get back to the journey. Taking a look at this, to process this double portion anointing, there has to be a time of testing. So every step of the way, Elijah told Elisha, "I'm going to give, you stay here. I'm going to be going here. You stay here." Elisha said, "No way. I'm in it to win it." Like Naomi and Ruth. Ruth said, "Your God is my God. Your people is my people. Where they bury you, they bury me. And where you lodge, I lodge." That's a serious covenant commitment. Amen. He was all in. And so Gilgal, 2 Kings 2, 1 through 6, it was the place where it all started. And Gilgal in Joshua's day, that's where Joshua set up the stones. I told you that. So it was the beginning of Israel's journey. And this is where God chose the sons of this new land also to be circumcised. So I don't want to get too graphic here, but the Gilgal was a place of separation. God said, I'm rolling away the reproach of the Egypt. I'm rolling away your past. It's going to forget those things which are behind. You're in it to win it. This is a new anointing. This is a new day, and you're going to follow me all the way. But you got to separate yourself. I've separated you from all that kept you from the promise back in Joshua's day. So remember, a whole generation had died off, and the new generation were 20 years old, and they hadn't yet been circumcised. So at Gilgal is where they cut away the flesh. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a double portion anointing, if you're going to work for God, I mean, you got to cut some things away. You have to separate yourself from a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that's unnecessary. And it represents a separated people from their past and toward their future with the living God. And they were now in covenant. And I noticed those who press in, they stay in. Can you shout amen? Those who press in, stay in. Those who are willing to sacrifice and get into a covenant with God, a blood covenant with God. No pain, no gain. Are you seeing this? The sacrifice and the circumcision meant that they were in covenant with God. Separated people. And you must live a separated life from the world to walk in a double portion anointing. And that's where he started it. Living for God is a purified life, a cutting away of the flesh, getting rid of carnality. I wish I had some people helping me preach today. How does this apply to us? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's some conditions. Nobody can walk in through a double portion anointing without cutting away some junk in your life. How are you going to lead somebody, a minister to somebody, when you haven't even taken care of leading yourself? You got to get some things right. You got to learn how to pray. You got to learn how to cry and weep and surrender. You got to learn how to work and sacrifice. There's some things that have to happen in you before you can lead anybody around you. So one thing hindering believers from walking in the anointing today in the Spirit is they never fully surrender to God in the beginning. So right here at Gilgal, let's get it straight. You want a double portion anointing? Cut the flesh. Get rid of the junk. To walk in a double portion, you have got to go to Gilgal and die to self, cut away the flesh. Somebody say, I want a double portion. Come on, let me hear you. I want a double portion. If you want what Elijah had, you have to go where Elijah went. Yeah, a lot of people want double portion, but they don't want to pay the price. The second place Elijah went and told Elisha to stay was Bethel, next stop. The meaning of Bethel is God's presence or house of bread or house of God. Okay? It's the presence of God. It's a desire for God's presence. Verse 6. And the two went on. I love that. And the two of them went on. How many know the enemy's going to try to stop you from your double portion anointing? He's going to try to tell you. I remember when Melissa and I first got the call of God on our life. The Lord was calling us, and Satan was all the while saying, you don't have a call. When I got the baptism, Satan said, you don't have the baptism. When I got saved, Satan said, you're not saved. But you know what? I said something back. How many know it's time to start talking back to the enemy? I said, I am saved, and I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and he did call me, and I am anointed, and I am going to do the work of God. So speak to the hand, because the ears are not listening. That's what I told him. But that phrase hadn't come out yet for many, many years. And it hadn't been around for many, many years either lately. But Bethel was the place where Jacob wrestled with God. Remember that? So we're flipping back in a little bit of history here. You know, Jacob met with God at Bethel and wrestled with God, came out with a limp. That means God won. How many know if you get in a wrestling match with God, you don't have to worry about it. How many know God's going to win? But Jacob was so desperate about being in the presence of God. He had a dream. His pillow, you talk about sacrifice, his pillow was a rock. You know, some of the places God sends you on this journey of double portion is not the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, you know, it's not always a peaches and cream. It's not a walk in the park. Ministry today in the kingdom is not an easy work. And the calling and the office of a prophet was a big deal. Nobody played around. It wasn't something that was by degree. It was God's decree that Elisha be anointed as a prophet. And he was going to be facing Jehu faced Jezebel. We talked about a few weeks ago. She fell out the window, or Gus busted all over the place. Dogs came, ate her, just like the word of God. How many know the word of God does not lie? If God said it's going to be, it's going to be. I'm just trying to tell you about the journey to get there. And the second stop is Bethel. It means we must get to that place where we desire to be in the presence of the Lord, where people went to seek the Lord. It's where Joshua, Jacob wrestled with God. It's where Samuel went to Bethel every year to make sacrifice. It was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and the people went to seek the Lord at Bethel. The house of bread, the house of God. Can I tell you, this is the house of the Lord. We didn't come here to play. We came here to seek the Lord and to get the bread of life. Hopefully you leave here with some encouragement. It means to get to the place where we desire to be in God's presence. And even some people try to discourage you. The school of the prophets that were in training. Did you know that man of God's going to be taken away from you? He said, hey, I know what's happening. You be silent. Don't worry about it. Don't try to bring any negativity to me. I mean, no, there's always a naysayer. There's always somebody that's going to say you're never going to make it. But you know what I tell them? You're too late. The devil already told me that. And how many know the devil is a liar? So I don't need anybody lining up with the devil to tell me I'm not going to make it. I am God's anointed. He said it. He called it. He dealt with it. I'm just trying to walk in it. So what does it mean for Elisha and for us? If the first place was a place of separation, the second place was the place of toward the double portion has to do with intimacy, the desire to be in God's presence. And man, if you look at Jacob, man, he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. When Jacob woke up, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. I want to ask you this morning, you're going through the motions. I mean, you're God's servant. You're a priest unto God. How many know all of us are anointed to be priests? I said, all of us in the church. If you're born again, you are the priesthood of the believer. That is the anointing on the church's life. He anointed you just like he anointed the tribe of Levi. You are the priesthood of the believer. You represent people to God and God to the people. You're taking care of the house of God. You're taking care of the people of God. How many priests are in the house? Can I hear you say amen? And there's an anointing on your life. And you have to pay the price, more likely pray the price, and find that place in God that gets you closer to Him. You got to get there and beware. God is at Bethel. Sometimes we got to get back to Bethel. And that's the place that Jacob named the place Bethel. It's where God was. And I'm challenging you today, get there. Get closer to God. You're going to need all of God you can get. Amen? Psalm 63, 1 through 4. You, God, I love this, are my God. How many love that? You're not just everybody's God. You're my God. You care about me. You know my name. I'm written on your heart. You, O God, David said, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Verse 3, because your love is better than life. Woo! To have the love of God is better than to have anything else in the whole world. My whole life, I'm glad. How many glad the Lord loves you? You come to grips with that. You know that. You're anointed. You're blessed. You're God's. And nothing can stop you because you're anointed. And so he says, your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hands. Whew. Oh, girl, can we just do that in the name of the Lord? Just lift up your hands to the Lord. His love is better than life.
And Lord, our lips praise you today because you have fearfully and wonderfully made us. You have chosen us, selected us, called us, anointed us, filled us, and we want a double portion. We want a double portion. We're on the journey with you, Lord. Our lives are not satisfied. We're living sacrifices. And we want to be holy and acceptable to you. Our question this morning is, do you desire his presence? You got to desire a little bit more on this journey. It's okay to start with separation. It's okay to get in the kingdom. But how many know you don't sit here and wait till Jesus comes? You got to get busy about the master's business. Everybody in the church ought to find something to do. Can you say amen to that? We're a priest unto God. We're anointed to serve. And so many people are just going through the notion and emotions at church activity on Sunday, satisfied with a pacifier experience instead of pressing into God's presence. And if you want what Elijah had, you got to go where Elijah went. He went to Bethel. He went to Bethel. He knew that's where God was. The third place Elijah went was Jericho. I hope you're getting this, and I'm moving along. Hey, pastor's moving along. And then he went to Jericho. It's a place of faith. You know Jericho. Every Sunday school kid went to Sunday school, knew about Jericho and the walls of Jericho. But I just want to submit to you this morning, it wasn't Joshua who brought down the walls. It was Yahweh. I mean, it was Yahweh who brought down the walls. The only assignment that was given to the anointed Joshua was to walk. Walk by faith. That ought not be too hard. Hush your mouth and walk around the wall. Do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. All right? And on the seventh day, we'll march around seven times. And when I tell you to shout, shout. It's simple obedience. Walk by faith. And that's what we need. That's what we need. Chapter 5 of Joshua, when Joshua was at Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua said, hey, are you with us or are you with them? That's a great question. And the man said, I think it was a Christophany, the Lord himself, Jesus. He said, neither. But as commander of the Lord's army, I'm here not to take sides. I'm here to take over. How many know that God's not here to take a side over here or a side over there? He's here to take over the whole situation. I'm not sure what you're going through this morning, but if you're going to be anointed with a double portion and you're going to follow God with all your heart and be used of God, how many know you got to follow the chief, the commander-in-chief, who's not taking sides, liberal or conservative. He's taking over. This is not what you're leaning this way or leaning this way. You're standing strong in the name of the Lord. There's some people that are carnal. There's churches today that are carnal. There are people that are calling themselves born again that are carnal as the day is long. But how many know if you're going to have a double portion anointing, you got to cut away that flesh, get rid of that carnality, and walk straight in faith. Walk with God. Join the army. Amen. He was in the presence of the Lord himself, and he wasn't there to help. The Lord was there to take over and take charge. It was God who took Jericho. Right? And all that we had to do was walk in faith. Literally, walk in faith. So the third place on the journey means for you and me, for Elisha, and for us, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. When the Bible says, when you've done all you can to stand, just stand. If you stand for something, you won't fall for anything. Amen? You got to stand up. You got to be brave and courageous. Nothing seems to come easy on this planet, and we need faith to walk in the anointing. Got to believe. You got some Jezebels out there. There's some carnal kings out there. Even some priests that are living. There's some churches that are carnal out there. Is anybody here helping preacher preach today? Just because you're part of a church don't make you the part of the army. There's some people just playing and calling it church. I said they're calling it church, but it's nothing more than a bless me club. You can have the Elks Club over here and the church over here, and they look the same. But how many know the church ought to be separate from the world? The world should be influenced by the church, not the world influencing the church, but the church influencing the world. We're rescuing them from hell. They're sending us there. This tolerance is just incredible. We got to believe God without seeing. Jericho is a reminder to walk in faith, carrying the mantle of the miracle, knowing who's in charge. And finally, they came to a place of the Jordan. The eternal principle is death and the resurrection. How many know our goal is to preach Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his exaltation, and his soon return. How many know the king is soon coming home? This thing's going to wind up soon. How many know we're getting ready? I said we're getting ready for the Lord to come back. Whatever we got to do, we've got to do now. And it's not going to be a picnic. We need a double portion anointing. So Elijah has this conversation when he gets there. It's a little bit more. He wanted a little bit more. He got to the Jordan. There's no possession without crossing the Jordan. And this is a moving toward that double portion anointing, moving into the promises of God. This is the place of the miraculous that can only happen through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You get to Jordan, man, it's all or nothing. Either God's going to help us or we're in bad shape. Somebody shout, I want a double portion. This is where we find Elijah had said to Elisha, if you are with me when I go. 2 Kings 2:9, and when they were crossing, Elijah said, ask for something and I will do it for you before I go. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. The spirit that's on you, I want that on me. The spirit that's on you, I want that on me. I want to ask you, Oak Grove, are there young people asking you for what you have? Anybody following under your leadership, under your tutelage, under your mentorship, that is asking you for what more of what you have? Or do they even know you have anything? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You ought to be lighting it up. And I don't mean like a lot of Christians. Just because it's legal don't mean you're supposed to be lighting it up. Well, I got medical problems. No, you got mental problems. Yes. So the moving of the Spirit is helping us. Somebody needs to shout, I want a double portion. Elijah said, give me a double portion. I want that. Here it is. Elijah said that, you know what? Hey, young man, you're asking for a hard thing. You want a double portion of what I got? You don't know where I've been. You don't know how I've faced Jezebel. I wanted to die just a few days ago. You don't know what you're asking for. Reminds me of a story of a missionary who was in Africa. He had a tent here, and then he had a young pioneer. A pioneer had the tent, and then a young rookie missionary in another tent. And the rookie missionary listening to the pioneer missionary pray. And he was saying, Lord, I mean, the veteran missionaries listened to the rookie missionary pray. And the rookie was praying, Lord, teach me, you know, to be more like the veteran missionary. And the veteran missionary said, no, Lord, teach him to be more like you. Because you don't need to be like me. You need to be like him. And only the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to give you what it takes. Thank God for mentorship. What Elisha was asking for was not something from Elijah. He was something from the Holy Spirit in Elijah. He said, what is in you, I want to be in me. And he was actually asking for sonship, relationship. That's why he said, my father, my father. So he called him, saw him caught up in the chariot of fire. My father, my father. And then Elijah drops the mantle on him. And he picks up the mantle and he strikes the Jordan and he crosses the Jordan. It's powerful. But what he was actually saying was, I need somebody to help me to do what they helped you do. I need the Holy Spirit to help me do in my ministry what he helped you do in your ministry. It was very much relational. Secondly, it was very much purposeful. What he was saying was, I need a double portion of the anointing so I can do what you did in the kingdom. Can I just tell you, if you ask God, Father, strengthen me. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me see miracles for your glory. How many thinks the Lord is going to pull you through? And Elijah did great miracles, but Elisha did more. Even in his lifetime than Elijah did. Elisha did more. Because he had a double portion. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If you see me when I'm taken, it will happen to you. But if you don't see me when I'm taken, it will not happen to you. I thought that was pretty interesting. So Max, if you see me, it'll happen to you. If you don't see me, it won't happen to you. Why do you think Elisha chased him down like a hound? Because he wanted so badly not only to learn how to do ministry, not only to have a relationship of a father, because he's out there on his own, but he wanted to see God do in his lifetime what God did for Elijah. So what was Elisha asking for? Sonship. Pass it on to me, a double portion of this prophetic spirit and authority, so that I might carry on the mission. And God granted his request, knowing his heart, for the kingdom work. And Elisha carried on with power and anointing, healing Naaman's leprosy, resurrecting the Shunammite's son, and all the multiplying of the oil and the bread, demonstrating the double portion anointing was on his life. Elisha got it. He saw it. He pursued it. He died to himself, and the Lord resurrected a miracle working ministry. And God's plan continued through God's servant, marked by diligence and surrender and relational capacity. How much capacity do you have in your heart this morning? Before we get out of here, do you have some room for a double portion? If you want to be what I am, you got to go where I've been. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the casual Christian. This is not for the weak-minded. God's got a plan to raise up an army of Elishas. Do you believe that? So you got to continue to be faithful for one another generation with a double portion. Continue in the power and the miracles. Continue the preservation of a remnant. Remember, 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal. Don't think that you're the only church in town doing anything. I mean, no, God's got a whole lot of people wanting to go to the next level. We're not the only ones. But while we're here, I mean, no, we're going to do all we can to walk in a double portion anointing. He brings desire. So you got to desire it deeply. You got to guard it bravely. Stay in the word and be obedient to the Spirit. So what about you, Chrissy? You guys can come back. I just want to ask you this morning, what about you? Do you desire a double portion? If so, I need you to embrace teachability. You got to follow. You got to follow. Everybody wants to be a leader. Nobody wants to be the follower. Everybody wants to be platform and public ministry. Nobody wants to be in behind the scenes. Can I tell you? You know what? 90% of the work that gets done here is behind the scenes. Nobody knows them. I mean, no, God still anoints no names. Nobody's. You don't think you're with somebody just because we're standing up here. How many know everybody's got an anointing, a job, a mission? Everybody's got one. All you got to just be, understand that you need to value formation over platform. It's not no big celebrities here. It's what God's doing in you and through you, not for you. And then you got to burn the plow, cut ties with everything and pursue God. Seek a double portion. Ask the Spirit for boldness. Continue the mission. And then get a mentor and multiply. Identify some Elijahs and some Elishas and equip them. Elijahs need to equip Elishas. It needs to happen. Otherwise, we have a kingdom that has no leaders. And Jezebel will succeed. If Elijah wouldn't have went and anointed Hazael and Jehu and Elisha, Jezebel would have kept going. Jehu put an end to Jezebel because he was anointed. He was anointed. You can't just let Jezebel tear up the kingdom and sacrifice our kids. I mean, no, the church needs to rise up in this last day and be the church. It's not time for us to be depressed or weak. We need to be strong and courageous. We need to tear down the strongholds and raise up some Elishas out there. So this double portion anointing is reserved for those willing to be used of God. Holy Spirit empowered.